Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up! I'm going to drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is ours to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine, and we also have our other co-host on the line. What's going on, Katrina?
Not too much.
Are you going to join us for more than 5 seconds tonight?
Yes, if you give me... we're going to be on for more than 5 minutes.
That was all epic, right? Last week, by the way.
Yeah. I'm okay.
I blame Craig.
I only did it for him.
I blame Craig.
Yeah.
But anyway, tonight we are going to be talking about what I thought was one of the best wrestling shows of the year. NXT TakeOver. I guess I'm assuming you guys saw it since you guys wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, who wants to start?
It was okay. I wouldn't say it was one of the best of the year. It was okay. It wasn't as good as the other two, I didn't think.
Maybe as over, like, if you count every segment or match between the show, maybe it wasn't the best one, but I thought the two main events by far were the best things they've had on any of the shows.
Yeah, I don't think the women's match was as good as the one the last time, though.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are both mistaken. It was way better than the one against Terry Natty.
Okay.
There was a lot of good on it. There was some bad and some
something
things
horrible,
that irritated
something
me.
Something hideous on it.
Yeah, there's a couple of hits.
So what about
that whole hair patch thing? That was just fucking stupid. I'm sorry.
Let's not be like Dave and Shimp and jump around and not go in any kind of order. Let's run the show down in order. So I'm assuming Craig already has this thing loaded up on his thing. So, but let's start from the match and we'll just go match by match. That way it'd be easier to follow.
One of the first things I wanted to say is, on social media, this was one of the bigger shows coming out of social media. So, in other words, there were more people tweeting about this show than even the last WWE SummerSlam. There was, the photo of the night with Triple H and Kenta and Prince Devitt and Kevin Steen that he tweeted out was absolutely epic. I saw more about this show going into the show on social media than anything else that I've seen in a long time. So they are doing something right with that. also the build with the match that they had on Raw, which was a fine little match. I thought it was awesome. Got to showcase three out of the four guys. And also the Ascension on main event. So finally, WWE doing something right to promote a big show.
Yeah, I like the idea of debuting Kenta on this show. I wish they would do that more on these live shows. But, you know, when they have like the big international stars coming in or something like that, I wish it makes more special. So.
Yeah, definitely. And probably seeing some more of that.
I was going to say, it's a good idea, but the thing is, they have to kind of space out when they bring the guys in, because how often do they have these takeover shows? 3 months? 4 months?
This is the third one since February.
So how many months is that?
I don't know, about six? I'm not sure.
At least 2 months. So if they're going to do it again, the closest they could do it, like let's say they want to make a big deal about Kevin Steen, or they want to make a deal about Prince Devitt, they'd have to wait 2 months. So they'd have to keep him off for 2 months. So it's like, it's a good thing to do, but you can't do it now, unfortunately, with the two guys you really would want to do it with, because you'd have to keep them off for that long, and they should be on the main roster by the next time there's a NXT show on. So it's a good idea. It's just some bad timing with the fact that they brought in, you know, three main players that they could do this with at one time, and they can't do it.
I think they'll do it more. Not so much the guys that are coming like off the independents, like Steen, but more the international stars like Devin and Kenta.
Mm-hmm. Well, I already have the perfect plan for them to debut Steen. If Sami Zayn win the title at the next show, and as soon as he wins the title, Kevin Steen runs in and package pile drives him, and they rekindle that feud from ROH. It's real easy.
I had expected maybe him to be on there last night, you know, just some live show.
Yeah, I did as well, but anyway.
I don't know. I think they should bring them in as a team at first, and then right before Zayn gets called up, then you have Steen turn on him and like win the feud. But whatever they do with the two of them will be either. We know they're awesome as a tag team and are awesome feuding against each other. So I'm not worried about that. Yeah.
Please tell me they're going to change Devitt's name and they're not going to call him Fergal.
I hope not.
That sounds like a skin condition or something.
They should just leave it Prince Devitt and just leave out Fergal or whatever.
It should be
Prince Fraggle, and he could do some skits with the Muppets, since, you know, they do work with the Muppets all the time. And they can have like Bobby Bear, you know, got a promo to introduce him and shit.
Prince Fraggle, let's just cut the guy now.
That's awesome name.
And his main move would be the Fraggle Rocker or something like that.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, they won't do that.
The Fraggle Rocker Copper or something? I don't know.
Okay, here we go. First match, we had the Ascension versus Sin Cara and Kalisto for the NXT tag titles. Of course, we can now refer to the former as the Lucha Dragons, as we found out as this show went on. A fine name for this team. Sin Cara was getting destroyed early in the match after a little bit of shine by the babyfaces. Sin Cara took quite the beating by the Ascension, who looked like, they look like a dominant tag team, which they have been for almost a year, as was stated on this show. I didn't realize they were changing for that long.
I guess they didn't have much to watch. So.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed about the Ascension is, you know, they have gotten a little better in the ring. Really, really improved on is Bean. just seeing the big dominant tag team and the way they carry themselves and the way they walk and just the way they come out. And even though they're not as big as the Road Warriors, you still kind of come out and you're like, you know, when these guys are going to like kick some ass. So just their confidence, you know, and that aspect of their game has increased greatly. And, you know, I don't know if they'll make it in WWE just because, you know, they won't be as big, but, you know, at least, you know, they might have a shot. So, and they need fucking tag teams.
So they finally made the hot tag to Kalisto. He ran wild. There was a lot of dive spots. And
he blew one of them.
He really did. And then finally he hit the sliced bread, and we have new tag team champions in NXT. I thought the match was good. Nothing spectacular, but good. I like the team of Sin Cara and Kalisto. Now, Kalisto is the former Samurai del Sol, correct?
Yeah.
So he was the Dragon Gate guy.
Yeah, I never seen him. The first time I ever seen him was probably the last special.
Okay.
I never saw him in his Dragon Gate. I think he almost killed himself one time in Mexico or something.
Everybody almost killed themselves in Mexico?
That's true.
They don't have mats, and they like to jump out of the ring a lot. But
really kill himself, like Sean Altman did.
Well, it was only for a few seconds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he survived. He survived.
Obviously.
Yeah. But he does have some cool moves. He fucking blew that one spot. That looked horrible. Where the dude just landed on top of him, basically. But he is cool. I just don't ever think, you know, they're dying to find the next Rey Mysterio, and I just don't think they'll ever find the next Rey Mysterio. You know,
of course not.
I think he'll have some good matches, but then he'll be small. He'll be relegated to losing every week, basically, after a while, after Vince just, you know, gets tired of it. So I don't really know, have high hopes for his future. I mean, I think he'll get like a little run. I just don't think it's going to be, you know, he's just not going to be the next Rey Mysterio. They're going to have to find someone really special to do that. But Fuente was okay. I mean, you know, I guess it's some use out of, they can still get some use out of the name and costume, even though the other Sin Cara wants to, I think he actually wants to use Sin Cara in Mexico, which would, I don't know why he'd want to use the name of one of the biggest failures of all time, especially when, you know, you're already using a name as it is. Why change your name a third time or back after the second time?
That's true.
I was just shocked to see a match involving Sin Cara where he wasn't the one fucking stuff up. So
that's true. Yeah, Sin Cara actually won a match, and it was on TV. I saw it. There was proof.
Didn't dislocate his pinky and call it off for nothing. Called Mac Dog.
That's the other guy. Come on now.
Oh no, I'm just kidding.
That's funny. Next up, we had C.J. Parker, and he wrestled the debuting, that's what it said anyway, Baron Corbin. And
he was debuting to me because I never seen him before, so I actually thought it was like the new debut.
I figured he was losing because he didn't even get an entrance when they already in the ring when they came back, so I figured the other guy was winning. And I feel sorry for the other guy having to go through life with that hairdo, so...
Yeah, there was literally nothing to this match. It went 29 seconds, and Corbin won with a downward spiral-type maneuver, as I put it.
One of the 500 variations of the move that people use.
They're also saying that the man is close to 7 feet tall. I don't believe that for a second.
He's fucking tall, though. He's like 6'7" or something, dude, or 6'6" at least. He's a big dude.
Yeah, anyway, there was nothing to this. There's really nothing to talk about, to be honest with you.
I love C.J. Parker's nickname, dude. The fucking Eco Warrior, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I don't like on this show? I think Renee Young's very good as a commentator.
She wasn't bad last night, no. There have been times in the past where I wanted to reach through my television and strangle her, but this was not one of those nights.
Well, she's still green at it. I mean, they just kind of like threw her into the fire, but she's slowly getting better. I'm actually hoping they'll move her up to fucking either Raw or SmackDown or both, you know, in the next few months. I think she'll bring like a nice element to it, make it a little different.
Someone I think they could maybe groom for like maybe right at Michael Cole's level. The female lead announcer. I
don't think it would be a bad idea to move her up to main event and have her kind of hone her skills there for a little while. And if she does become, you know, better, then try her out on one of the major shows. Why not?
It's kind of a novelty in wrestling these days. A female commentator, so that's why I like so much. It's kind of different. So
yeah, and you know, they always wanted to get rid of Jim Ross and get like a better looking announcer. Well, there you'd have the best looking announcer you'd have of any. She just needs to learn the verbiage a little better. You know what I mean? That's the one thing she's lacking. Once she gets that, the more she learns the verbiage, the less annoying shit she will say. You know what I mean? I do remember when she says the luchas. The luchas, that's fucking awesome.
It's weird to see a female commentator not portrayed as like a bimbo.
Yes.
Like.
Yes, very true.
Like Mizzy High was portrayed all those years, you know, when she did commentary, like in WCW or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was just a dumb blonde.
I'm
probably going to get an angry message because I said that. That's how they portrayed you, Mizzy.
Mike McGurk was okay.
Yeah, he's fine. Better than, I don't even want to get into it. I'm going to say he's better than Mongo, but, duh. Anyway.
I'm surprised you guys haven't played up his fucking little dog more. Because, you know, I'm the biggest animal lover in the world, but every time I saw that little fucking dog in his little fucking sombrero or his whatever cowboy hat or whatever the fuck he was that week, I wanted to just stomp that fucking dog to death.
I totally agree. Oh, Lord. Okay, next up. We had Sylvester.
I've never been so thrilled as to when somebody became a professional wrestler than him. They got him out of that fucking broadcast booth. Even though his match, I would take 5 minutes of a horrible Mongo match over 2 hours of his commentary.
I will give you that, actually. I will give you that. Okay. So, third match in. We had Sylvester Lefort versus Enzo Amore in a hair versus hair match. Let me just run down what exactly happened, and then we can talk about this. Because I have some things to say, and I know Katrina does as well. The match was not much. There was a lot of kicking, a lot of punching. It wasn't bad. It wasn't embarrassing or anything like that. But it wasn't anything special. Enzo Amore ended up winning with a rolling reverse cradle. And the good guy, quote-unquote, held the trunks to get the pin. So after the match, they were going to shave Sylvester's hair. Oh, let me backtrack just a little bit. They did a skit before this match where they were in some type of hair salon and there was this bucket of what we can guess is Nair.
I was highly offended they didn't use the name Freebird Cream.
Okay. So anyway, this bucket of goo fell upon a dog, a poodle, and the hair came off the poodle. Yes, Fifi the poodle, that's right. So, Sylvester figured out what was up, and he ran away, pushing his lackey whose name escapes me at the minute. What was the lackey's name? I can't remember.
I have no idea.
Okay,
I
so the other French.
He had a hideous T-shirt on. It looked like he ought to be. He looked like he was a, like the sailor in the music video "Land Down Under."
he looked like Kevin Nash in the Punisher movie, kind of.
That's exactly it.
Okay. So Sylvester pushes the lackey in the way, and now the good guys drag the lackey up to the barber chair where the scissors and everything is, and he gives some offense, but Kaz ends up hitting him with his big boot. And they did the old Dudley's gimmick where Cass pushes him and says, "Enzo, get the bucket."
His name's like Louise.
Okay. So they ended up taking the bucket and putting on Louise's head, and the goo flew everywhere. Don't make that a drop. And then it mercifully ended. And I'll let Couture have the floor now.
They pulled it over his head. If this was like Bill Watts, he'd be out for 6 months he'd be out blind for like 6 months and miss the birth of his daughter or something. When they got the hair cream in JYD's eyes back in the day.
Okay.
And he was out.
wasn't smart enough to close his eyes as his head was going in.
I saw that.
This is awful.
Remember when Orlando Jordan put the milk on over himself?
I don't want to remember that. Why'd you even bring that up?
That's what it reminded me of. Only it was a little bit more gross.
All right.
And, yeah, so they, it's like a couple matches later, they go to the back, and I don't even know these guys. Now, Enzo and the dude wearing the soft shirt.
Yeah.
What's the soft thing? I don't understand. Somebody tell me, is that some kind of lingo or not?
They're soft, and so soft is the way that the New Yorkers would say it. See?
Oh, okay, stupid, though. Okay, anyway.
The guy with the most southern accent in the world is making fun of the way New Yorkers talk. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. I can do that.
Continue, Couture.
Anyway, they're backstage, and they come across Sylvester LaForte, or as Enzo says, Sylvester LaFart. the guy's got a towel over his head, and so they grab him, and they take him back to the ring, and the towel stays on his head all the way to the trip from the backstage to the ring. And they take it off, and he's got, like, it's just like a few clumps of hair.
Yes.
Stuffed on his head.
Yes, that happens.
So, the whole thing about the hair matches, I want to see the person get their head shaved. I don't want to, you know, run backstage and show up bald. Isn't that what the whole hair match is supposed to be about? You're supposed to watch them get their head shaved.
Yes. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but they basically showed you the Freebird cream, and they made you know that it was going to be the Freebird cream that was going to get the hair and not the fucking razor. There was no false advertising there.
Yes,
they basically
no
told you what was happening.
Yes, when they showed me the barber's chair with the clippers that they did not use.
They did not use that, though. Okay, here's what I have to say about this match. While there was nothing to the match was not bad. I've seen plenty of matches with bad wrestling with a bad ending. But Enzo Amore might be the most annoying man I have ever seen on my television screen.
What? Okay, you know what? I'm taking over this. You guys have talked all you want about this. Now, as far as the match, you're right. Nothing to the match. It was plain and simple. The Italian Stallion, or whatever the hell his name is, he looks good. He's got a good body. He should not lose his hair now. It should be a bigger build if he's ever going to do that. His buddy that did lose the hair, he just looks like some just geek. Nothing. He looked like a weirdo when they did take the thing off his head. As far as Cash or whatever it is, Enzo's partner, That dude's just a tall dude. There's nothing real special about him. But Enzo Amore, oh, my God, is the greatest thing in the fucking world. This is the first time I ever saw him. He blew my fucking mind. He's going to be the greatest heel fucking manager when he comes up, if they make him that. And then when they turn him face, he'll be like fucking, he'll like whatever, of all the funny things Santino Marella ever did, this guy could even fucking so far suppress fucking Santino Marella as far as a comedy act. This guy has so much fucking charisma, and his fucking hairstyle is like the greatest thing I've seen since the freaking New Breed. This guy is a star in the making. He might not be big or have the greatest body, but this guy's fucking charisma and personality is fucking beyond, it's like, you know, I haven't seen anything like that in a long time. This guy has it as far as that part of it. And as far as them not delivering on someone losing their hair, no, someone lost their hair, so it's not like a total loss. You know, it's not, I don't know why Brian and fucking Vinny have to go all crazy about it. It's fucking not a big fucking deal. And then, you know, as far as not giving the Clippers, well, had the Italian Stallion won, they probably would have used the Clippers on the guy, but the other guys were showing around fucking Freebird cream, so you knew the guy was going to use a Freebird cream and not sit the guy down and cut his hair. So that's another thing I don't know why people were bitching about. But, like I say, the match wasn't too much. You know, I got a little chuckle off of the guy being bald with the little things, but Enzo Amore made all this whole thing freaking awesome from start to finish.
You're amusing.
I will stand by my statement that I think that man, while brimming with charisma, okay, you cannot take your eyes off the screen when he is on there. He has a ridiculous haircut. I don't know how he walks through the airport with this, but whatever. He has, again, I'll say it again, he has tons and tons of charisma. With that said, he drives me crazy. I think he's absolutely annoying. The how you doing thing.
Beat him up?
I have no desire to beat him up. I just want him to get off my TV. His little how you doing thing, his little rap, his everything he does annoys me. And how he is a babyface, I do not understand. But
he's a babyface because the fans like him. I don't think he's a babyface because they actually wanted him to be it, because there's nothing about him that's babyface other than the fact that the fans like him.
True. And I was just going to say that the fans in the NXT arena or whatever they're calling it, what is it, South, what is it, Sales?
Wholesale University.
These fans are more rabid than ROH fans are today, easily.
Well, I don't say much for these fans. They cheer Adam Rose, so I don't know. Stupid shit.
So up next,
yeah, this whole thing, if I was rating it, it would be a dud. Everything about it. So
that's fair. So next up, we had the never aging William Regal come out to the ring. I mean, how old is this guy?
He's younger than he did in WCW.
Absolutely.
He lived a hard life for a while, for the majority of his life. But he was very, very, very young when he first showed up. I mean, it was a long time ago, but he was pretty damn young when he first showed up in WCW. So he's been around like a long time, and I'm sure he's an older guy. I just don't think he's as older in age as like we probably assume he is because we've seen him for so long.
I'm going to do a little research and find out how old he is.
Okay, you do that. So he comes out to the ring, looks like $1 million, hair looks coiffed and perfect, and he introduces Kenta. Kenta, if you've never seen any of his matches, go to YouTube, check him out. One of my favorite matches I ever saw live was Kenta against Davey Richards from ROH in Houston. Yes, Houston, WrestleMania weekend, just a tremendous, tremendous match, even though the last spot was blown, but they did edit it, so
twice.
It looks like $1 million. Twice, that's right. And a GTS. Was the finish of that match. Actually, it was kind of a reverse GTS. Anyway.
Well, he tried to reverse twice and failed, and then he hit the regular GTS.
Right.
Well, somebody can use that move now, so.
That's very true. Yeah, they it's available for use. Genta came out. He spoke in Japanese because
his jacket looked cool, his top looked cool, his skinny jeans I don't know about.
His head woke up from a nap. Wait, just woke up from a nap.
Okay. Anyway, you looks like a million.
Something where your hair sticks up in the back. I don't. Maybe I don't know.
It's a young man's thing. Anyway, he spoke in Japanese.
That's what he
spoke in Japanese because they have an affiliate in Japan that was actually playing the show live, which they stated earlier. Spoke in Japanese and then spoke some broken English. Said he was happy to be here. It's a dream of his life. He then said he was going to change his name to one of his heroes. Hideo Itami is the best way I can say it. And I know Michael Sempervivi is giggling at me right now because I can't do Japanese names. The Ascension then came out. And the crowd went all at the same time, ooh, like they were anticipating somebody getting killed. So the Ascension hit the ring. They basically started bullying Regal, telling them they wanted a rematch for the tag team titles. Kenta ran in, or Kenta got booted out
of
the ring.
What happened was the bigger guy kicked Kenta and threw him out of the ring. And then they start demanding title shots. Okay, then Kenta jumps back into the ring, and then the best part of this is just the way the Ascension just paused and looked at him like they couldn't fucking believe the audacity that this guy is going to jump up and interrupt them and was, you know, going to take a beating of his life. They just couldn't believe it, and it was just like a pause that seemed like it lasted forever. And then he tried to kick him again, and then Kenta, you know, threw some kicks and threw him out of the ring. And then fucking got a chair and sat down and was daring them to come in. It was actually pretty awesome.
Thank you, Ed. I got a little bit confused in my notes. Yes, that is exactly what happened. I thought it was a good way to debut Kenta. I'm not sold on the name change because after all of this went down, the fans chanted Kenta, Kenta, and it worked perfectly. It's going to be hard
to chant.
A Tommy.
Yeah, it's Kenta's a lot easier to chant, so I don't know why they're going to do it. They'll probably drop it after a while if the crowds keep chanting Kenta. Hopefully that's what they'll do. But everything was great except for his skinny jeans. Those fucking sucked. But like I say, that pause, that dramatic pause when he got back into the ring made it awesome.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever seen him, believe it or not. So.
Really?
I don't think I've ever seen him actually wrestle, so.
He's a very snug worker. He's very fast. He likes to work holds, but his high flying is very good. So, go out of your way and check him out. He's
I like them not like doing the regular thing where they like deny where he came from.
Yeah.
His original name. I like that, and then kind of explain why he changed it. It's kind of like a tribute to, I don't know if it was a tribute to, I don't know if it's Japanese stuff.
Yeah.
Do you guys know?
I have no idea.
Well, someone said, like, the first name is a baseball player, and then...
Is there a baseball player called Deo Nomo or something like that? I'm not sure.
Something like that. And then, as far as the Otani part, the only thing I can think about is fucking Otani from, you know, like, was in New Japan for a while. I don't think he's in New Japan now, but he was part of that the ones that came from WCW.
Otani, it's a Tommy.
It's Otami.
Otami,
I-T-A-M-I, not Otani. That I would have figured out.
Yeah.
But if somebody by the name Kenta for all those years, his last name's Kobayashi, and that would have gotten people confused back in the day.
Yeah. It was actually kind of... I guess it was, some people knew this was happening because Brian Fritz was here for a couple of days working some charity event. And that morning he told me, he's like, yeah, I think they're changing his name tonight. And I was like, what? Word?
Yeah.
Fucking Triple H was referring to him on the conference call as Kenta. And then, but he was right.
Yeah, so hopefully they'll come to their senses and just...
Well, it's all the like, you know, they want to own the name and all that stuff. Same thing you do.
Oh, I know.
When they first come up, when they first get their new names, we always say they're stupid, and then they end up being fine. You know?
Yeah.
And but sure, we all thought names like Evan Bourne and Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose were kind of silly when we first heard them, probably.
It's true.
Yeah. I was going to say, what I liked about this show, though, is, to me, NXT is like a throwback show to begin with. But to me, this was like everything built. I mean, it wasn't like they were trying to throw the whole show, have awesome matches. It was like, okay, they start off with something really good, and then they start having fucking basically jobber matches in a way. And they just, every match just kind of build. And then by the time they got to that last hour and those last two main event matches, it just was, to me, it was just like the perfect build throughout. So that's what I really enjoyed about this show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Next up, I have, I really don't know what to think about this. I haven't seen this man in the ring yet. It was the first time I saw him in the ring, but I did see, like, his vignettes. Mojo Rawley versus Bull Dempsey. Bull Dempsey is a throwback, to say the least. He's heavy. He's wearing a wrestling singlet. He's hairy.
He's not muscular.
He's not muscular. He's thick. But he's not cut by any way, shape, or form.
Basically, what Craig's trying to say is, in this day and age, how the fuck did this man get a job in the WWE? Because he is nothing like the WWE likes. He's nothing like they mandate. He is, like you said, a throwback. He looks like a fucking caveman in the singlet ready to fucking wrestle. I mean, he's something from the, not even the early 80s, but the fucking 70s and 60s. And It blows my fucking mind when I see this man on WWE, and then it really blows my mind when he's a dude going over and getting the push. What the fuck am I? What is Bizarro World? I mean, I'm not hating
on
this guy.
Well, it's not like he's getting the WWE push. It's the NXT push. It's kind of different.
But even that, it's like how he looks nothing like anything that they like, and they're, you know, giving him a shot. It's like, you know, I'm glad they are, because it'll maybe open it up for them to have a bigger mind, you know, and hopefully when Kevin Steen shows up fat and still has a good match to that, it'll open their mind and they can bring up other guys that don't look like $1 million but can actually work. But it just, I can't get over this dude on WWE TV. It's like, Vince must not have seen this guy. Vince hasn't seen this guy. They're like keeping him a secret. I don't know.
I don't think Vince may not even know NXT exists at this point. Who knows?
That's very true. Anyway, this guy, Bull Dempsey, won this match. Mojo Rawley is kind of a main guy in NXT, and Bull Dempsey beat this guy in just over a minute with a diving headbutt. Looks pretty good too. The headbutt did look really good. But, I'm in the same boat as you, Ed. I don't understand how he got a contract. I don't understand why they are pushing him. None of this makes sense. But, you know, we're always complaining that they don't, all the guys look the same. And, maybe they're trying something different. They did just sign Steen, and he's no Adonis. So, we'll see.
And the fans are taking to him, and he's over with the fans. So I mean, hopefully they'll see that, you know, you don't have to look like you're straight out of a comic book to get over with the fans. I mean, it's he could be one of the best things to happen to WWE it's just hard to for my head to wrap around it. You know what I mean?
With guys like this is, I think it gives them a little bit more freedom to tinker around with guys a lot, you know, just to see if somebody's going to fit or whatever. So,
yeah, see what happens.
Yeah.
We then had a fine match. I wasn't as in love with it as Brian and Vince, but good match. We had Charlotte versus Bayley for the women's title. It was a good match.
See, you're looking at it as far as holds and moves, and not as a story. If you look at it as a story, it blew the match with her and Natty away.
No, it didn't.
It was freaking awesome. And it started with a fucking awesome video package to build it up and make it seem important, because they started off with Bayley, and Bayley's talking about how it's a dream. And Bayley, the gimmick Bayley has is basically she's almost a little girl who's just a mark, right? And she just wants to hug everybody and just be everybody's friend. And she doesn't have a bad thing to say about anybody. She's just like that innocent, very innocent person. And so they're building it up, and she's basically, it's like the things I like the most in wrestling are the stuff that has some realism to it. And you got this girl talking about it, and she's talking about what she wants to do and be champion, and she's basically in tears because you can see how much of a fan she is and how much it actually means to her, even though people laugh and disregard the women's titles or whatever. Brian makes fun of them for crying when they win a title, whatever. Her thing was just perfectly built. Charlotte just a natural, you know, just being the smart ass, just a smug champ. She's basically, they gave Ric Flair a sex change and aged him fucking 40 years is what happened. And the build up, the promos were badass. They, you know, all the storyline of how Bayley got to be the number one champion, the stuff of that was fucking great and stuff. And then the match, you know, yeah, maybe you could say technically the match with Natty was better because, you know, Natty is one of the best workers out there. And these, and Charlotte's still green, and Bayley, you know, doesn't have anywhere near the experience as Natty. But the match was really good. I thought it was great. It was mainly the champion dominating for the most part, with Bayley getting a bunch of hope spots. I thought the Hearn Carana off the top rope was fucking awesome. I usually don't see the chick. She did it better than Lita used to do it, basically, I thought. And then the match came down to Charlotte gave her like that devastating like thing into the bottom turnbuckle, and then went up and hit the schoolboy into the turnbuckle, but it was devastating because she hit that fucker hard. And then,
it looked like to me, it looked like she like hit her. I was worried because it looked like she hit her neck on the bottom rope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember when Mae Young did that and almost broke her neck when she hit her neck on the bottom rope that time?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and Mae would just, like, lost her balance. I mean, Bayley was flung into that thing. And then Charlotte hits the arc. It looked great in the air. She needed to work a little bit on her landing. That wasn't totally perfect, but the arc was, like, she got a lot of height. And then Bayley's able to still kick out. And then Charlotte has to look like, what the fuck? She can't believe she kicked out. And then they show Bayley. And this is my favorite part of the whole show, was basically Bayley fucking looks up, and it almost always works. They do it in Japan a lot. It's like the last act of defiance. It's like you look up, and it's like you kick out of like the biggest move they have, and it's like, fuck you, you have to kill me to beat me. But Bayley did it in a way where she didn't like shoot the finger, or she didn't scream. She just had the look on her face of her look of defiance was just perfect for her, and then fucking Charlotte hits her big move, pins her, and beats her clean. And I thought, as far as the story from the first promo to the end, and then Charlotte saves her because she respects her now, and Sasha interfered, I thought the story of that was even better than the main event. So this was my favorite part of the whole fucking show.
Okay.
Well, I thought the match was fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It was a good match. My biggest takeaway was when my friend referred to Charlotte as a beautiful woman. Still trying to wrap my head around that. because every time I look at her, all I see is Ric Flair with a mole on his chin.
Well, I don't think she looks that manly, but she is the least attractive of all the women on the roster. That's another thing that'll kind of help with, like, the Bull Dempsey thing of maybe changing and opening their mind, because thank God she's Ric Flair's daughter. If she wasn't Ric Flair's daughter, they would have let her go a long time ago just for the fact that she's not that pretty. But she's not ugly, you know what I mean? She's just not supermodel, you know?
Exactly.
She's like Carrie Von Erich. She's, the best-looking, not-so-attractive person I've ever seen.
Anyway, the match was good. The Frankensteiner off the top by Bayley. By the way, Bayley's very cute. And she's going to do really good. I like her gimmick, her attitude, her presence in the ring. She's going to do very well.
When she came out, all I'm thinking is Punky Brewster.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Kind of. None of the other girls could do her gimmick. She's just her face perfect for her gimmick. It's the perfect facial expression for the whole thing.
She's so cute that if I had a chance to bang her, I'd feel like a pervert. This is the best
way
to put it.
I definitely have to call her the next day.
Anyway, the Frankensteiner off the top was tremendous, and then the finish, good match. I liked at the end, Sasha Banks came out and started to taunt Bayley and attacked her, but Charlotte actually made the save. So we might see a face turn for Miss Charlotte.
On the after show, they were like kind of talking. They weren't there. She came out and said she respected Bayley, but they weren't like being best friends. But then Sasha came out kind of talking shit, and she kind of outshined Charlotte as far as the talking, because Charlotte got a little tongue-tied. But at the very end, they show the announcer, so you just kind of see the background of the ring. But she did, raise Bayley's hand and start hugging her and, stuff like that. So she really was doing the baby face when they switched cameras. I don't know if they realized that you could see what she was doing after.
I see. Next up was the main event. We had Adrian Neville versus Tyler Breeze versus Sami Zayn versus Tyson Kidd. This was for the NXT title. It started off, I was worried for a moment, because I've seen three ways where all three men lock up together. And in the very beginning of this match, they were feeling each other out. All four men looked like they were going to join hands at one point. I was yelling at the TV, please do not do a four-way lockup. Thank God they didn't. The heels attacked, and then we were off and running. What I really liked about the match is all four guys at some point in the match were allowed to shine. There would be a point where two guys would powder, and then there would be two guys in the ring, and it was one guy getting the shine on the other. It was never a huge four-man spot fest. They did incorporate some of that, but every guy had a chance to shine. Even Tyler Breeze, at one point, there was a great run where he ended up...
There was two of them. There was two of them.
Okay. The one that sticks out is the one where he hit a super kick, and as Sami Zayn, it looked like he was going for a dive, he hit the leg lariat on him as well. And even Tyler Breeze, and I say this with all the respect in the world, even Tyler Breeze looked like $1 million in this match.
Well, they did this perfectly, because the way the match worked is, like you said, it was mainly, for the most part, one against one for the most part throughout the match. Like, it was a big story where Adrian Neville couldn't even get in the ring. He was just spoiled at getting in the ring like five times in a row. The thing with Tyler Breeze is he's the weakest worker there because he's the most inexperienced one. So when you wanted him to get the shine, it's better to do it the way they did it. Like, you had other shit going on, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's Tyler Breeze. Boom, boom, boom. Fucking two or three real awesome-looking moves. And then he did the Edge impersonation when every time they kicked out. And he was pretty good at that. He needs to put some size on him. That's what I think he needs more than anything. But yeah, his two shine spots were awesome. They really made him look good, and they did it in a way to where it just accentuated him looking good and not giving him a chance to look bad. Tyson Kidd worked. He was awesome the whole match. Sami Zayn is just incredible.
Yeah,
he's probably by far the best guy in NXT as far as all around package. Adrian Neville. They actually, if anyone didn't get as much shine as I thought they would get in the match, it was Adrian Neville. Not that he didn't do, like, when Sammy was going to do that dive, but Adrian cut him off with the Asai moonsault. And then, of course, mm-hmm. he hit the red arrow at the end. But to me, he was the one that actually, if they really wanted to, could have done a lot more. He's the one that kind of got held back a little bit. But I think that built to him. To me, this whole show was some people, I think Brian might have said that Sammy go heel. No, this was a whole thing for Adrian to go heel because he couldn't. Yeah. He kind of looked like a geek when he couldn't get into the ring. And then he totally fucking fucked Sammy when Sammy had the match totally won. And right as the ref's about to hit three, Adrian pulls the referee out. I mean, it was a real simple thing. But to me, it was like one of those, like, you son of a bitch. And, I thought the match was great. I thought, you know, like you say, four ways aren't always the best one. But they did this one to where it was just so much mm-hmm. action throughout. Everybody got shine. No one looked bad. No one looked, except for Adrian when he couldn't get into the ring, he looked like a geek. But, I thought it was fantastic. As far as actual match moves and that kind of stuff, it was the best one of the show. As far as the story, like I say, I think the woman had a better story. That's why I like that one a little better. But this was, those four guys, or I guess they're the four top guys in NXT, and they made a statement. They came through. They didn't choke. Like I said, I think I like NXT. Right now, my favorite promotion is NXT.
You want to hear something? Hear something horrible?
Go ahead.
I fell asleep during this match.
But
you look like Adrian Neville was celebrating.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure you
did. Did you go back and watch it?
I went back and looked at it. Knew it was a good match. And I wake up from a nap. I just, kind of out of it. So I didn't remember much.
Well, to tell you the truth,
the NXT Raw crossover may not be done because they got like Neville, Sami Zayn, and Tyler Breeze scheduled or supposed to be at the TV this next week. So
good
on Monday and Tuesday. So
yeah, this match was good. Sami was.
I think Sami Zayn was kind of the star of the match, but there was another little subtle thing that happened during the match when Tyson Kidd had Breeze in the sharpshooter. He was about to tap, and Adrian ducked in and grabbed his arm and would not let him tap. I thought that was kind of a little subtle heel thing that he did there. Sami Zayn ran wild at one point, and, he... He did his dive through the second and bottom rope and then hit Breeze with the spinning DDT. I love that move.
In the
and he lost. Like, I don't know how he does it because it's like the margin for error on that is so small because you just have between the two ropes and he goes from he's on the outside, jumping up, going to the middle rope, goes through the ring, out the other fucking ropes, catches the guy into the DDT position, and there's the rolling DDT, spinning DDT. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him do it a lot better. I mean, he still did it really good on this one. But it's, I don't know how he does that.
I've seen him hit Kevin Steen with it, and it looked so fast that your brain didn't really process what had actually happened. The dive through the ropes was so quick. You're like, whoa! And then he hits the DDT. We saw it. I think it was in Florida when he wrestled Steen in Fort Lauderdale. But it's just a tremendous move. They did a really cool stacked up powerbomb suplex spot with all four guys crashing to the floor, and Zayn, I guess, delivered the move as. That's what we're to believe anyway. But great match. Of course, the
spot at the end where Neville pulled the ref, just everybody was kind of shocked. It was like, oh, that just happened. And Sammy jumped out of the ring. He got super kicked for his time. And Hadrian went up top and hit that beautiful, beautiful looking red arrow from the top rope. It's breathtaking. It's such an amazing maneuver. And if you saw it on Raw and you saw the reaction of the Raw crowd that's not an NXT crowd, you realize how impressive that maneuver is when you see everybody just lose their minds when he hits it. So, yeah,
is this
probably
the thing
AJ Styles
used to do? Is this the spiral tap that AJ Styles used to do? Is that what that movie is? Can't remember.
One more time, I couldn't quite catch that.
I said, is that like the spiral tap that AJ Styles used to use in TNA?
It's close. It's close. I think he spins more backwards and then around, but it's the weirdest thing to watch him do it. It's hard to wrap your head around how he gets all those rotations in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really amazing maneuver. And anyway, so yeah, heel turn for Adrian coming up. I'm sure him and Sammy are gonna go around the horn as him versus Sammy for the title. I'm sure they'll be feuding for it. And I don't know what you do with Tyler Breeze after this. I don't see him in the hunt anymore. So hopefully they'll find a spot for him as well.
The thing I like about Sami Zayn more than anything is you always hear about wins and loss matters, and if you beat a guy or be a geek, and you'll never be able to get him over. You just kill him week after week. Sami Zayn and Daniel Bryan, for some way, some reason, have this ability to where they can lose every goddamn week and somehow get more over and over and over. And think about it. When was the last time Sami really won a big match on NXT? Mm-hmm. He hasn't, but he's still the most over guy on the show as far as the singles and main guys. And it's just amazing how a couple guys, you know, you could do whatever, and somehow they just rise above, you know, losing, even though they lost, and get more out of it and get more over.
Mm. Yeah,
he's not the guy that he used to be in Ring of Honor. I get him confused.
One more time.
Wait, say that again?
I'm sorry.
What mask guy did he used to be?
What did he used to be in Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
He was the El Generico.
Okay, mm-hmm. I get the too confused.
Okay. Yeah,
he's gotten a suntan since because he was the most super pasty. He was like Sheamus White,
yes,
basically. And had his beard was like longer.
He's not that ignorant sounding dude that y'all had on here. Had on one of y'all early drunk casts, is it?
But anyway, do you guys know that when if anybody, you know how they do those media things that like Dave went to and where he talked to like Sting and them and shit.
Mm-hmm.
That if you ask him about El Generico, he won't totally deny it. He'll just say that he can't really talk about that or whatever. But did you know that if you bring up Claudio Castagnoli to Cesaro, he will straight out deny and say that that's not him, it's somebody else.
I love it. And living the game.
Kayfabe, brother.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome. So, since we have a few minutes here, I got some videotapes in the mail. I'm sorry, DVDs in the mail. I was reverting back to my tape training days. I got some DVDs in the mail from High Spots.
Mm-hmm.
They sent me PWG, All Star Weekend number 9, and All Star Weekend number 10, and also PWG 11. The main event for PWG 11 is the Young Bucks versus Joey Ryan
and his girlfriend, Candice LeRae. Candice LeRae in a no-holds-barred street fight. So, put it on last Friday night after we got done with the show. My son was very interested in watching it because we've been watching the video clips online. And this match was incredible. There was juice from the girl. She got... Have you seen the Meltzer driver?
Yeah.
Have you seen
this? What is that? I don't know what that is.
The Meltzer driver is one of the Young Bucks holds a man in a pile drive position, and the other Young Buck gets on the outside of the ropes, springboards, does a full flip, and then comes down in a sitting spike pile driver, and they call it the Meltzer driver. It's all flash, and it's pretty spectacular looking.
They named that, so they're setting up a day for an extra star rating in their matches now or something?
Basically, they did it to mock him because he's always, you know, talking about, you know, all flash, no substance. But anyway, the Young Bucks hit this maneuver on Candice, except they did it to the floor. And she comes up bloody, bleeding like crazy. At one point, one of the Young Bucks ducks into the ring.
Leave it to fucking Joey to let his girlfriend get the juice and take a power driver on the fucking outside.
Oh, it gets better. At one point, one of the Young Bucks ducks under the ring. This is after they've super kicked this woman. They've done every deplorable thing to this woman that you can think of. Just beating the crap out of her, and there's all this plunder laying in the ring. Joey's laid out on the outside. Matt ducks into the ring and brings out a bag. And so you're expecting, oh my God, there's tacks in the ring, in the bag. And so Candice fires back, and so both Young Bucks take the beating on her. And while this is going on, Joey sneaks in the ring and switches the bag. He gets super kicked right after this, and he falls out of the ring. So now it's time to pull out the tacks and drop Candice into them. They open the bag, and he pours out the contents, and it's gummy bears. Because, you see, Joey was smart and switched the bag. So the crowd is dying. But they go ahead and powerbomb her anyway. And anyway, more hilarity ensues. Well, finally the tacks do come into play. They grab Joey, they open his mouth, they pour tacks in his mouth, they super kick him. He comes up bleeding out of the mouth. They pour more tacks on the ring, and then as Candice is coming back into the ring, she's bloody, she's beaten, she's flipping them off and just daring them. Matt comes back into the ring, and he's got a tennis shoe, and on the bottom of the shoe, there are tacks super glued to the bottom of the shoe. Upset, you know what I mean? And so he puts the shoe on, he super kicks.
Like he made his own feet.
He super kicks Joey, and then to top it off, he then super kicks Candice. And it's like, oh my God, and just they're brawling through the crowd. It's just mayhem. And the crowd is losing their minds. It looks like they're going to finish off Joey. And Candice makes this fiery comeback. They had Joey on the top rope. They were going to suplex him into tacks. But oh no, Candice jumps in the ring. She pushes off Nick. Matt Jackson falls into the ring. She kicks him low. She grabs a handful of tacks from off of the deck of the ring, pulls his pants open, pours tacks down the front of his pants, turns him around, grabs him from underneath, and grabs him by the boys, and suplexes him into the tacks, and she turns around and pins him 1-2-3 new tag team champions. The place lost their minds. This was, the craziest thing I'd seen all week. It was such a spectacle, and it was absolutely tremendous. So thank you, High Spots, number one. And then to the rest of you, you have to see this show. You just have to. You have to see this match.
They just sent you this stuff for no reason.
What's that?
They just sent you this stuff for no reason. Are you bad?
Well, you know, I know a couple guys, but anyway.
You showed this match to your showed this match to your child.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Okay. That's worse than Adrian fucking Pearson.
I had no idea it was going to go this far. Because we had watched the first the semi-main, which was Chris Hero and Kyle O'Reilly. By the way, Chris Hero has put on about 40 pounds.
Yeah, I heard he got pretty fat.
Been let go by the
or fatter.
Hero the Butcher. That's his new name, I heard.
Oh man.
He went back to the original gimmick, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a fat kid trapped in a skinny kid's body all this time. Who knew? But
after hearing all that stuff that you said, describing that match and everything, I have one question.
Sure.
It has nothing to do with the matches. Why the fuck is Candice LeRae with fucking Joey Ryan?
I don't have a good answer for you. All I've seen is the videotapes. I don't follow the product. I'm probably going to start because I absolutely fell in love with this. You know, I'd seen PWG in the past, but watching these two matches last Friday after I got off the phone with you guys, since I got off the phone with Ed, I had to, I must see more of this. I'm absolutely hooked. So PWG gets a great big two thumbs up from this guy right here.
The one thing about Candice and all this shit that she takes and does is she's not a big girl. The girl is fucking tiny, man. She's gonna. God, I hope she kind of like gets signed and doesn't have to do shit like that anymore because she's not gonna last too long, physicality wise. Because that girl is very petite, very small, and I hope she doesn't like really hurt herself actually. Because like I said, the show that I saw, I was fucking 6 inches away from watching her do a tope and having both knees slam into chairs.
Oh, yeah.
And just, it looked crazy. So, you know, I hope she doesn't get hurt someday.
I've never been too big on seeing women get juice.
It's weird.
Every time I saw women really bleed was high school.
I didn't actually see the match, but I've seen the pictures of, it was from Anarchy Championship Wrestling in Austin, where I went to see the Queen of Queens, and it was one of the girls from there. We had her on a show like a long time ago, Angel Blue. She wrestled that one guy, Jack Jamieson, a Landstorm student, and she looked like fucking Freddie Blassie from the magazines back in the day. I mean, she was just crimson mask. I mean, she fucking had so much fucking juice. It was almost disgusting how much juice he had.
Yeah.
And, as long as they don't do it like a lot, every once in a while it's not too, too bad. But, yeah, I would not want to see that every week having some good-looking girl.
I think TNA did it. Didn't they have like a women's cage match or something? And somebody, one of the women juiced in. Maybe it was like Victoria or somebody like that. I don't know.
So one of the worst ones I ever saw on circuit was, you remember the WOW pay-per-view?
No.
Okay, well, they had WOW. Basically, WOW was one of those, like a newer version, a more modern version of WOW and POW, basically.
Okay.
And you had a few girls who could work, and then you had, for the most part, they were models, and they had their gimmicks.
Sure.
But the two main eventers were Peggy Lee Leather, and I don't know if that was her name on the show, and what was her name? She was on WCW for years. Peaches. I know you've seen her for sure. Bambi, that's what it was, Bambi.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't very pretty, but, you know, she was a decent worker. Well, anyway, they're in a cage match, and you see where she tries to juice herself up, Bambi, and she goes to juice herself, but there's no blood. All right, so they keep kind of going, and she goes to gig herself again, and there's still no blood. And so this time she's like, fuck it, I got to fucking do it. So she basically New Jacked herself like New Jack did to Mass Transit, and she cut herself so bad that this girl was just pouring blood down her. Oh, my God, it was so, I mean, it was just, oh, God, it was ugly.
Was this the WOW show where the angry man called into a yard that one time?
Yeah, and he started yelling at Jess Merrick, and Dave and them hung up on him.
He was upset because they reported when they reviewed it that there was no psychology in the matches. So, well, the wrong with
yeah,
doing it. Bambi and Petey Lowe have been around for like 20 fucking years. Jesus.
And then he got mad because they compared him to, like, what was that movie? Something, Planet Nine?
Planet Nine from Outer Space?
Yeah, Planet Nine from Outer Space.
Yeah, an Ed Wood movie.
Yeah, one of the best parts of the old Yada show. And
I think the first time I saw Juice in a ladies' match was probably on one of the All Japan Women shows that I watched. Yeah, just an incredible, I think it was like a one-hour match. And
I don't know if you're talking about Hokuto. Hokuto, when she wrestled that one girl that looks like a dude. It was that Dream Slam one.
Yes, Dream Slam. Thank you. And the other one that it sticks out very much in my mind is the time where Lita got busted open on Raw.
Is that when Mick Foley had the barbed wire in his hand and did the mandible claw?
Might have been the same night. I'm not 100% sure, but Lita was. It was a hard way, and she.
That was against Ivory. And it was at like Survivor Series.
Man, she was just bleeding like crazy, and I remember her getting up on the top rope. She took off her top, and I was thinking, this is the most unsexy thing I have ever seen in my life. and hit the moonsault with just blood just streaming off of her face. But
I played this Survivor Series when I think this was when maybe when Ivory was doing the little Sterling and Crane gimmick with with the right to censor.
Okay.
And when she wore the dress all the time. So I'm looking it up, so anyway, continue whatever you're talking about.
Well, what were you talking about, Craig?
I had nothing more to go.
Okay, so you're done with the PWG segment?
Yeah, that's the only two matches I've watched. I've got four more DVDs to get into, one of these days I'm going to get time to actually do that. So
did you happen, either one of you, certainly Dr. Char did, but did either one of you happen to see The Ultimate Fighter?
No.
Did not.
Not since like 2005.
Okay. It was actually pretty good because they got they're doing the gimmick where it's all the women and they're actually fighting for a title, but then one of the favorites got upset on the first episode, so that was kind of like a big shock. But there's a Twitter war going on now between the one that lost, Tisha Torres, and the girl who was the Invicta champion. She hasn't fought yet, obviously, basically what happened is Tisha Torres made a post because apparently people were accusing her, or maybe some of the girls were accusing her of being on illegal substances, and she went out of her way to talk about how she never smoked a cigarette, never even had a sip of alcohol, this stuff, and she even called out the one girl, called her a spaza. And to you, Carla, and then the Twitter name, who constantly has something to say about my body, I lived with you for 6 weeks, and nothing about my body change, so keep your comments to yourself. Okay, so then Carla Esponza comes back with this fucking post, and it's the most hypocritical fucking thing I've ever read, because she's trying to act like she's taking the high road, and she's like more, you know what, I'm more too moral to get into this fucking thing. But I'm going to read her whole post here and tell me if she doesn't sound like the biggest douchebag in the world. Okay, he's off. He goes, my response, LMAO, you are really going to include my name in this. All right, so let me start by saying this. For someone who is constantly going on and on about their college degree, and in parentheses, which I have one as well, but don't go bragging about it, you sure seem to not be able to read. Someone commented, "I'm still confused about Tisha. She looked and moved like a different person." I responded, "Interesting observation. I'll say quite a few girls in the house had their theories about that. I'll just leave it at that. Did I say I was personally accusing you? Did I say, yeah, because she was totally on roids before, and now that she has to be clean for the house, her performance suffered? Nope, Tisha. What's sad is, in a way, I defended you, saying that if you don't know for sure, without a doubt, you can't accuse someone. You want to hear what other people were saying? Oh, that's why she has that mustache and facial hair, because of all the steroids she's done. Looks like her back acne is cleaning up, not that she's forced to be clean. She ate like absolute crap, yet still keeps her build. Funny how she goes undefeated, but now that she doesn't have her steroids, she loses. Tisha, I'm not saying I agree with those statements, and I wasn't going out of my way to badmouth you. That's just what was said, okay? I'm not hating on you. I couldn't care less about you. So I'm just going to let this go. Enjoy your time at home. Have a nice life. Peace."
I don't understand. Explain it again.
Okay, well, she's trying to act like she's taking the high road.
I'm just kidding.
All right. Tell me that. I mean, is that not like the most hypocritical? I mean, she's like basically saying she's not saying any of these things, but she said every goddamn thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for them to have a fight, hopefully. And then Dazza is in love with this Tisha Torres, so he's losing his fucking mind right now and posting about it on Facebook and Twitter.
My favorite thing that I will say some women do is when they say, "I'm not going to bash her," and then proceed to go on a 2-page tirade where they do nothing but bash her.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Unbelievable.
Survivor Series 2000, Ivory went up against Lita, and Lita, one of Ivory's boots apparently hit her in the cheek, and she busted her cheek open. That's where the blood was coming from. Like right in her eye.
Okay. Yeah, I vaguely remember that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anybody with any thoughts on Donna Hare this week?
This is going to sound really bad, and I'm not trying to be funny or anything. I actually thought he died before. I thought he was already dead. I thought I had heard that before.
Yeah, never a big fan of him, just to be completely honest. Never a big fan of Sean O'Hare.
I thought he had a lot of potential. I thought he had a lot of potential.
He was a good big man.
Yeah, when they first came out in WCW, he had good size. He was big, athletic. He had an awesome swanton that they had to call the shanton because of Jeff Hardy's thing. That's what hurt him in WWE because he couldn't do it anymore. That was a big move. But I thought he had a great look when he first came in, and I thought he had potential. He just was his worst enemy, I guess, and just never lived up to it, and then just had a pretty fucked up. Apparently, he went to rehab 6 times by WWE.
Wow.
I mean, that's probably more than Sonny went.
Yeah. Yeah, I had read that.
Sometimes it's hard to understand what you're saying.
I said before they cut Sonny off from going to rehab.
They did say, WWE did say that they were trying to reach out to him. And then he just basically, quit returning phone calls. So
you can't blame WWE on this. They did 6 times. That's a lot of money to send someone to rehab. It's not cheap. I'm sure they're saying
a
nice rehab place. And you can't blame WWE for this one. He's just a dude who just was kind of a fuck-up,
Yeah, I don't think you can ever blame WWE for somebody offing themselves. I think people do whatever they're going to do. I don't think WWE's salt.
People are way more salt beyond like something having to do with the wrestling company when they kill themselves.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's sad. I think Lance Storm summed it up best when he said, you know, another one of my, you know, coworkers had passed, and he just said, I'm kind of numb to it. And then he said, in a nutshell, he said, over the past, or since I've retired, I've lost 40 of people I've worked with. 40.
Well, and since you retired,
yeah,
it's 40, I think, like this entire career, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, so, you got a lot of them were ECW, I mean, one, so, I mean,
true.
But, yeah, that's man.
That's
I mean,
a staggering
think back and, yeah. It's like when you go back on the WWE and see some of the older pay-per-views, and then you realize that fucking half of them are dead.
Yeah.
And that pay-per-view wasn't that long ago when you really think about it, you know what I mean? It's,
yeah,
that's the one sexy part about wrestling is every, it's like, you know, we might go a few weeks, maybe even a couple months sometimes, but it's like some, we always end up coming back and talking about something like this. And
this is the first time we've been in a long time, though.
Yeah,
it feels like it's been a while.
Yeah. But let's see.
Before John Rivers died, she was
a that was a cool little thing they showed on her on Raw. That
yeah, I didn't know they felt like they'd really they had done that much with her to warrant her like a tribute thing. Not that I've had a problem with it, but you know, I just remember from WrestleMania 2 when she introduced Herb from Burger King. They finally found him.
The last thing I saw of her was maybe half a year ago where she's doing stand-up and someone tried to heckle her, and oh my God, that was the worst mistake the guy could have made because
yeah.
She fucking went off on the dude. She was pretty funny and she was pretty dirty. I mean, if you
yes.
like watch, you know, a lot of people know her from like the Tonight Show or stuff like that, but if you watch her comedy, she was like, she didn't give a fuck.
Filthy.
She talked mad shit. She like cussed. I mean, she was very good actually. You know, most people know her now for the old lady who wouldn't stop getting plastic surgery, but when she was younger, I mean, she was one of the funniest women ever.
She looked like a human mannequin. Like
yeah, by the end, she looked like Madam by the end.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, she bringing out for that boxing match at WrestleMania 2, and you thought the first clash of the champions with those judges was something. They had judges G. Gordon Liddy and Cab Calloway on this show.
Wow.
Oh, that's funny. I think G. Gordon had just got out of jail, too.
Yeah, he got arrested when he was involved in Watergate or something. So.
Yeah, he was part of the Watergate. But let me go ahead and draw the plugs
out. At WrestleMania that year, they had they were getting all the fast food places. They had Claire Peller with the Where's the Beef Lady.
Yeah.
She was there, and I'm thinking who else. I know they had some of the worst broadcasting teams in history. Elvira, Jesse Ventura, and Lord Alfred Hayes. There you go.
Yeah, but as long as you can see a virus fucking cleavage and make the whole thing worth it.
Throw them out at
Old Upper Hayes.
Yeah. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. Check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Catrere and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Proper Jam, PROPERJAM. And everything wrestling and music related, I do on there. So follow me there.
You can go to youtube.com/Catrere. YouTube.com/Catrere. I got a bunch of wrestling videos up there. And what's my Twitter handle, Craig? I can't remember.
It's Katrina35.
Katrina35 on Twitter. And I'm also on, I'm under Katrina on Xbox Live. So if anybody's on there. I've been playing Destiny this week. It's a pretty fun game. So.
It looks tremendous.
It is. I've really gotten into it the last few days. So.
I'm not so much into the MMO RPGs, but the first-person shooter aspect of that really really speaks to me. So, anyway.
Well, any last things anybody wants to talk about before we go?
Well, Seamus just, he has shut down rumors he was going to be, shooting a role for the new Star Wars film. He wasn't. He just happened to be home when they were filming it. So,
I see.
Who? Who?
Seamus.
Oh, okay.
But The Rock has also pushed the idea of he wants some sort of a role in Star Wars film in the upcoming movies.
That'd be
awesome.
Remember
when they announced the prequels and Samuel L. Jackson got his role because he went and begged George Lucas to put him in the movie. See, I'll be a stormtrooper. I don't care. He put me in a Star Wars movie.
Love it.
Cool. Craig, anything?
Wait, let's do a real quick. Let's do a real quick Bound for Glory preview. Okay, we're done.
Good one, Katrina. Always end on a high note. Play the music.
I gotta read the internet every day to like say TNA is still in business.
Yeah. Yeah, I. It boggles my mind to think that, you know, there for a while they were doing very well, and the last few weeks, the tapings that they did in New York, those have been very entertaining. But there was a whole lot in between that was really, really bad. And the fact that they still have television up till the end of the year, I can't wrap my head around that.
Reminds me when WCW used to tape at Universal. They taped like 4 months of shows at once. And then I remember that. They taped all these shows at once, and they were pushing the big thing they were pushing on these tapings was Sid against Vader, Starcade, and then he stabbed on him. So they said, well, this fucked us up.
Oh, before we go, the one thing I want to talk about is, did either of you guys hear the Triple H conference call?
I just read some of it.
All I can say is, goddamn if David Shear isn't the biggest fucking wrestling reported douchebag ever.
Okay.
God, I want to just fucking punch him in the face during this. Basically, what happened is they're doing a conference, and it's not like a really long one. I think that the other one was longer, but basically they said everyone has two questions. Now please keep it at two questions. So the first person that calls in is Mike Johnson, and Mike does a good job. He does he breaks up. He's not too much of a douchebag or whatever. He's actually cool. So he asked the two questions. So then they go to the next caller, and then the next caller happens to be fucking David Shear. And David Shear's got to be all, sorry, we took up the first call, but at least we got on. And just like, yeah, whatever, just get to your fucking question. So then he asked his questions, and he didn't ask like a multiple full questions, but he kept making the fucking questions go on, and he brings up the idea, his big idea is they should have an NXT invasion, like they haven't already had an NXT invasion a few years ago, but the motherfucker just wouldn't shut the fuck up, kept asking questions, and I was fucking just hoping Triple H would just be like, look, Dave, you already asked your questions and hang up on the motherfucker, but fortunately he didn't. But God, I hate David Shear. I hate his fucking virus-infected, pop-up, ad-infested website. It's like, God, go away already.
I'm actually on that site right now.
I thought you got banned.
I got banned from the message board. No, they still want my money. They just won't let me talk to anybody on there.
Oh.
They won't let me just say.
He's not allowed a general pop.
I was told I was worse than Rover, whatever that means. I miss Rover. When do you bring Rover back?
He's on Twitter. Follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, he is on Twitter.
I want him on the board. He's always nice to me when he's being a dick to me. I didn't have a problem with him.
Right. He's actually nice to people on Twitter sometimes. I mean, he's still Rover the troll on Twitter, but he'll be nice to people too. That's what shocks me.
He just tickled me to death the way he gets all those people upset on the board over him.
He does the same thing on Twitter. And with that, we will end the show. Oh, go ahead, Greg.
I was just going to say, just take everything he says with a grain of salt. He don't mean half of it. And the stuff he does mean, you won't even know. So it don't matter.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you watch Sons of Anarchy this week?
Yeah, well, I did watch it, unfortunately, because it was 90 minutes. I had to leave with 10 minutes to go. So I noticed that, like, when it started, because I have it on, you know, to record the season on my DVR.
Mm-hmm.
So it had turned on, but then like halfway I noticed the light turned off. So I'm like, oh, shit, I ran out of space. So I go and I deleted a bunch of shit, got it going back on again. And when I record shit that's not set to record the series, sometimes it'll record it, but then by the time I get home, it's not there. Like it recorded it but deleted it right after or something. So I wasn't too worried because I knew I had the whole series recorded. But so I get home. And, of course, the fucking thing didn't record it, dude. So I didn't see the last 10 minutes. And I ended up, before I, like, downloaded it, I asked Oliver Coppola what happened, which he just said the thing about the Chinese guy, so I was thinking they were killing them already. But I guess that's coming later. But, yeah, it was decent. They did have to go to the creepy factor right away, which surprised me. Them and their fucking liking to show fucking perverted fucking sex themes or whatever, but I thought it was good. But I do have to say, it's gotten to the point where, like Breaking Bad, you know how I got to the point where I wanted Walter to die. I'm almost to the point where Jax has got to die. Jax has to die horribly by the end of the show.
Yeah, I don't know how any other way it can end at this point.
It's got to be some spectacular fucking death for Jax. I kind of hope they don't kill off Juice, but I think Juice is going to get it. I do before they kill off Jax, I do want to see him brutally and mercifully kill his mother.
You know,
that bitch really deserves to die. Go ahead.
It looks like they're gonna do like a prequel series. Did you know that?
A prequel? I didn't know that. With the dad, I guess.
Yeah, with the dad and his mom and Clay, I guess, in the 60s. Looks like might be what they're doing next, so that could be good.
That might be cool. I heard they're also going to do a spinoff Walking Dead, so that would be kind of cool. But since I know Craig has no interest or never seen either of these two awesome shows, we'll go ahead and end the show. I need to go.
He's too busy showing his child bloody women.
I know, right, Craig? You won't watch Sons of Anarchy, and you're showing your kid clips where a woman pulls tax down a guy's fucking pants and then impales him in the balls of said tax.
Okay, number one, I had no idea what was going to happen because it was a professional wrestling match. I didn't know the outcome. If I would have known the outcome, I wouldn't have let my son watch it. Okay?
Question, and then we'll end the show. Okay.
Okay.
You watch the match. Match is over.
Yeah.
You turn to your son. What does the look on his face look like, and what does he say?
He's giddy, because we just watched a spectacular match. Now, what did happen was, my wife goes, I can't believe we let our son watch that.
What are you watching this weekend? Born to be Wired or something like that?
Yeah, we're going to watch FMW and then we're going to finish it up with the Japanese Deathmatch Tournament with Cactus Jack and Terry Funk. Yeah.
XPW with all the porn stars?
Yes. No, I will be, a good dad this weekend, I promise.
All right. I hope so. Don't be an Adrian Peterson.
That's right.
End the show.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is ours to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.